Thank you. You may be seated. So the hope, the peace, the joy, the love of Christmas, they all come because of the Lord of Christmas. They come to us, they came to the world because he came. Christ is the embodiment of all these things, as well as being the source that enable us to experience them in our lives and enable them to characterize our lives today. And we can see these four aspects embodied in the four names that were prophesied of this child over 700 years before the first Christmas. And the way I've kind of attached and identified them with hope, the mighty God. With peace, the Prince of Peace. That was the easy one. With joy, wonderful counselor. And with love, the everlasting Father. But before that, just a little on the beginning of this passage. For unto us a child is born. This child being born speaks of Christ's humanity. That immortal, omnipresent God was going to take human flesh and not just come to earth as a man, but as a meek little baby. Christ was fully human and he was born like us. Christ has been through what you're going through. Teaching my little kids in Good News Club, we were talking about Jesus, and they're 6, 7, 8 years old. I said, Jesus was your age. I can't say that for some of you, but you've been the age that Jesus was. Jesus didn't make it quite as far on earth as some of you have. But so Jesus was born. He was fully human. But then that's followed up with the Son is given. That speaks to Jesus' deity. That God, the Son, for all eternity, didn't cease to be God. But he was given by the Father to mankind for our great need. God, the Son, came. Then all these names describe the child who was born Israel's king. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. God's theocratic ordained government was upon Christ from the beginning. He will have the full role and power of leadership. And this is specific to the nation of Israel, but it goes beyond Israel then to the whole world. That Christ is all these things to all who believe on him through his first advent, Christmas, and the cross. But they will be fully expressed when Christ comes again, sets up his kingdom, and will literally rule in Jerusalem. Let's go through these four aspects. Hope, the mighty God. The mighty God. Make no mistake that meek child who came was God. He is the God, creator of the universe, God himself in flesh, come to man. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is how he could be born of a virgin. And rightly be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, because he himself is God. In the ancient world, it was very common for kings to claim to be descendants from the gods, to be God themselves, to have counselors, or claim to have the counsel of God. But Jesus Christ alone is the one true God. Elohim, the creator of all things visible and invisible. The master and sustainer of the universe. He's God, but he is also mighty. He is mighty with power over all enemies, with the ability to protect his people, to make his will happen. As the mighty God, Christ is the hope of his people. He is our hope when we are in need. We spoke of that this morning, that spiritually speaking, we are paupers. We have nothing to commend ourselves before God, and we needed another, and our hope was the mighty God who came. When we are persecuted, when we are tried, when we are distressed, Christ is our hope. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given unto me. Christ has all power at his disposal over physical and spiritual things, any time, any place. And in light of that, then, we can live for him. Jesus is omnipotent God, able to overcome any opponent, any challenge, and bring his will to pass. What a wonderful thing that is, because his child, his will, is what is absolutely best for us. Christ is the fulfillment of literally thousands of years of prophecy. As the hymn says, He is the hope of all who seek Him and the help of all who find. He has been the hope of Israel in their darkest days, and when their final darkest days come, they will turn to Him in the tribulation. Isaiah 10:21, the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Israel will turn to their Messiah. He is the only hope to be right with God, the only one who can defeat Satan, the only one who can defeat death itself, the great enemy of mankind, the mighty God. As we're going to look at these, the other three of these, love, joy, peace, they're part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I think we can find hope there too, because hope is part and parcel with faith, another part of the fruit of the Spirit. So all of these can be expressed in our lives as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And how do these characterize our lives? It's by our yielding to the Holy Spirit, our saying, not my will, but thine, Lord. Christ is our hope for today and our bright, or He's our help for today and our bright hope for tomorrow. He gives us the opportunity to look beyond our circumstances and look to Him. Friend, if you know Christ as Savior, the mighty God of the universe is within you. And who are we to say that we are not up to anything that God calls us to? Who are we to say that we cannot meet any trial? God has promised good to you and will do what is best for you. He can get you through anything. But we know we have a great hope coming, that this isn't all there is, that Christ is coming to earth again, first to take us, but then He will come in victory to rule and to reign. So that is our hope. But like the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand staring at the sky? We've got stuff to do in the meantime. In the hope of Him, we can serve in the meanwhile. And in this hopeless world, we can show that you have hope and share it with others. The mighty God, our hope. Our peace, the Prince of Peace. He is a king to provide a safe environment for His people, free of enemies, conflict, fear, and want. Christ came as a baby. What is more meek and peaceful than a little baby? He came peaceful to His people. We've looked at in Isaiah where it talks that a smoking flax will He not quench and a bruised reed will He not break. He didn't come when you're in your lowest point to bring the hammer and smash you to oblivion. He came to pick you up and to save you. However, in the end, He will establish His world peace by His might, defeating the enemies of peace. His people in the millennium will experience safety and prosperity because their invincible king destroys their enemies. As the Prince of Peace, first Christ offers peace with God by His blood. We are, of course, born the enemy of God. We are born a rebel against our Creator, but Christ, by His saving blood, if we have faith in it, offers peace. And then He offers the peace of God through the trials in our life, the fruit of the Spirit as we talked about, but coming at His return, He will defeat His enemies and will usher in what man has sought for millennia, worldwide peace. Christ is the unchanging God, and therefore we can rest in the perfection and consistency of His character and rule. How often peace has been broken because one leader passes off the scene and another with a different viewpoint comes and shakes things up, or men's fickleness, we change our mind, but Christ is constant. He only is the constant through all time and in this changing universe. The Prince of Peace is the rock which we can anchor to. He alone can bring world peace with power and wisdom to create it and the kindness to maintain it. If you know Christ as Savior, the Prince of Peace dwells in you. Unchanging God dwells with you. When all the world seems to be in flux and move and nobody seems constant to cling to, He is. There's no need to despair. We can turn to Him, know that His rule does not change and that He offers peace. Though we may feel conflicted, we have peace offered. All we need to do is yield to the Spirit to experience it. When tempted to worry, pray. Give the situation over to God and take His peace in return. and knowing the Prince of Peace, what a different perspective that should give us to the world that only looks and sees war and hopelessness. What a different viewpoint we should have knowing the Prince of Peace is in us and is coming. Joy. The joy of Christmas is from the Wonderful Counselor. And some consider this two titles, and it can well be two titles of Christ, but fitting in the pattern of the others, I'll consider it as one. And actually, if you Isaiah 28:29 uses it similarly. Isaiah 28:29, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. So Christ is indeed wonderful in counsel. He's extraordinary. Yes, he is wonderful. He's extraordinary in and of himself. But his counsels and strategies are also wonderful. They're infallible. And also another way you can consider it, that he is the counselor or the planner of wonders. Christ is the planner and the doer of miraculous things, a characteristic unique to God. This idea of a wonderful counselor, biblically it's often used in a military context. It's an infallible battle strategy assured of success. What a great characteristic that is to have in a king. The counselor is the king. He has wisdom to rule perfectly, to instruct his subjects, and to bring about his will once again. As the wonderful counselor, Christ gives his people the joy of living in his will. He gives us the joy of having the answers. We don't need to stumble blindly about. We have God's instruction manual for life. By the Holy Spirit, we have the counsels of the wonderful counselor to direct us. Romans 11:34 tells us that God needs no counselor. God doesn't need to seek advice. Christ, when he was on the earth, he never went to the disciples and said, "Guys, I don't know. What do you think we ought to do here?" God doesn't need our counsel. He knows it all, but he offers his counsel to us when we are at our wit's end. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows all. He either directly causes or allows everything that happens and will happen. Because his counsel is perfect, this always results in the best outcome. He desires what is best for his people, so his counsel is perfect for us and is always for our best. We should always desire to be in the will of the Lord. We read in the Gospels of the many miracles, many wonders, the signs that Christ did. But praise the Lord, Christ still does wonders. He still does wonders and miracles in our lives. Of course, the greatest is that he takes poor lost sinners, enemies of God, and makes him God's children. Friend, Christ has a wonderful plan for you. Christ has a desire for your life. He desires to save you, to sanctify you, to use you in service. He desires to raise you up, resurrect you at the last day, and have you reign with him. He wants to reveal these plans, his counsels to us, but then when he does, we need to act upon them. When the Spirit moves, we need to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord." He prompts us, "Pray for this person." We need to do that. "Say a word for me." Do it. "Help this person out." We need to do it. Even in the sadness of life, we can have joy if we seek it from our wonderful counselor. In the despair of life, we can receive his wisdom or his grace if we seek it. We can know his plans are not thwarted, and that even in our trials, God is accomplishing his wonderful will. We can have joy because God is on the throne, that he is in control. Finally, the love of the everlasting Father. Now, the other names have made clear that Christ is God. I don't think this is saying Father in the Trinitarian sense, because the Son and the Father, though one, are separate. This is really referring to the King and Messiah as the Father to his people. Christ is the protector, the provider, the nourisher, the leader, the instructor, the corrector, the lover of his people. He is the everlasting Father. There's no end to his protection or rule. Nothing will outlast it. He is the eternal God. He's the creator of time, the father of eternity, and he guides his people from age to age in love. As the everlasting Father, Christ is ever the lover and caretaker of his people, both his earthly people, Israel, and his heavenly people, the church. Christ is God, and 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. It totally characterizes him. He sets the standard. As we spoke this morning, the greatest act of love was that Jesus came. That God left heaven and became a man to live and die for us. Christ is eternal God existing outside of time. And before the world began, before Adam and Eve fell, God was planning how to redeem you. God knew the plans he had for you and your life. That he was going to save and redeem his people. He knew how best to lead and protect you and to bring you into eternity with him. Luke 13:34, Christ is speaking of his earthly people, Israel and Jerusalem. He said, "How often I wish to gather you to me as a hen gathers her chicks." He wanted to be the mother hen to take Israel under his wing, and they rejected him. And yes, they will come to him later, but that is why you and I have this opportunity. Don't be a wayward chick. Come under your Father's wing, his loving care and protection. Christ is the ultimate benevolent monarch. He doesn't ask what his people can do for him. He asked what he could do for his people, and he gave it all. He did the best for us. So friend, even when you feel alone, you are loved. Somebody loved and cared for you enough to die for you. Christ cares for you as a father does a child. He wants to protect you. He wants to lead you perfectly. We need to submit to his care. We need to submit to his leading. We need to get rid of our notions of ourselves and what we want to do and say, "Father, have your way." Sometimes we need to get rid of our ideas of self when we feel worthless and downtrodden, like nobody cares. We need to see ourselves through the Father's eyes, that we were somebody that Christ Jesus died for, that we are a new creation in him. We are the recipients of Christ's love, so we should be sharing that with others. The mark of the believer is that we have the love of the brethren. The world should see that, and that's how what it says, they shall know we are Christians by our love. We should have Christ's love for the world. Friend, the mighty God is our hope. The Prince of Peace is our peace. The Wonderful Counselor is our joy. And the Everlasting Father is our love. We have all of these because of Christmas, because Christ Jesus came. These things are wonderful. They were packaged in a little baby that was born that first Christmas. Friend, do these attributes characterize your life? Hope, peace, joy, love. Does that characterize you? First and foremost, you need to receive the child to receive these things. You need to admit your sin and believe that Jesus died, rose again, and by faith ask him to be your Savior. Christ is all of these things. He always has been, and he always will be. But is he your mighty God, your Prince of Peace, your Wonderful Counselor, your Everlasting Father? Have you made him these in salvation? Believer, do you trust your life to him and treat him like this every single day? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you that he is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father. Lord, if there's one under the sound of my voice that they've never made this relationship with Christ personal, that they've never asked him to be their Savior, I pray that this Christmas would not pass by without them doing that, Lord, that they would make this change, that they would believe by faith that Jesus died for them, rose again, and receive his salvation. But us as believers, Lord, if we're honest, I think we would all say that these things, this hope, peace, joy, love, they don't always characterize us as they should. Lord, we thank you that you offer them to us. Please help us to yield to your Spirit that we may experience them in a free and full way, that we may share them with others, that others may see it, and that you may be glorified thereby. Father, we praise you for this time. We praise you for all you have done and what you will do. Please continue to work in this service, Lord. We love you. We ask all these favors In Jesus' name, amen.